إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي أبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book المنتقى من أخبار المصطفى by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. When Amr ibn Shu'ayb an Abi an Jaddi qal naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an shira'i wal bi'i fil masjid wa an tunshada fihi al ash'ar wa an tunshada fihi dalla وعن الحلة في يوم الجمعة قبل الصلاة رواه الخمسة وليس للنسائي في إنشاد دار الله عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنهما said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade buying and selling in the masjid. Forbade buying and selling in the masjid. وَأَنْتُمْ شَدَافِي الْأَشْعَارِ Likewise, for poetry to be recited in it. وَأَنْتُمْ شَدَافِيهِ أَضَلَّ Likewise, that lost item be announced in each وَعَنِ الْحِلَقِ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ and he also forbade gathering before Salah on the day of Jum'ah وَرَوَاهُ الْخَمْسَةِ the five reported this however وَلَيْسَ لِلنَّسَائِ فِي إِنْشَاءُ دَلَّ In the report of An-Nasa'i, the search for Abdullah, the lost animal or lost item, is not contained in it. Then we have said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَعُ فِي الْمَرْكِجِ فَقُولُوا لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ When you see somebody buying and selling the masjid, say to the person that may Allah not make your trade profitable. So this is supported by the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade buying and selling in the masjid. We give some explanation that when we say buying and selling, that is the conclusion of the contract in the masjid and the mosque. So when you seal the contract in the masjid, the hadith addresses this. However, if somebody buys an item outside, maybe on credit, And the person is paying the seller inside the masjid, this does not fall under the hadith. Or maybe the person is handing over the item purchased to the buyer inside the masjid, this does not fall under it. But for one to conclude the transaction is what the hadith addresses. We also made mention of somebody asking you, how much do you sell so and so? Huh? You say, this, according to the way their opinion does not fall under what? Under concluding the transaction. Because the person is asking for the amount. But when you now engage in what we call al-musawama, or a soul, that he used to continue to work, bargain for the transaction, the commodity, this may fall under the hadith. So this is what is better avoided. Even the first one is better avoided, that is asking somebody, how much do you sell this? Even if you are not bargaining, just want to know the price of the item, you are not bargaining. So it is better avoided. So Allah A'ala, this does not fall under the hadith of what al-bayru wa-shira, because the hadith has to do with buying and what and selling. Now there are issues of scholars who will take, for instance, when you in the park, maybe somebody is doing tawaf, then he needs to drink water. Some people bring bottles of water, for instance, in the past this used to happen. They bring bottles of water or things like that inside the masjid. Can they sell to the one being tawaf that is thirsty? So some scholars were to suspect on this. But however, this tip falls on that buying and selling. So part of what we discussed is when somebody wants to contribute money to the masjid and he has to give something, 1,000 naira, so that they give him what? So there will be a kind of exchanging, maybe the person trying to break the 1,000 into two. So this is what sort. So the fact that the person wants to donate to the masjid, does it prevent the hadith from falling under, that act from falling under this hadith? Do you get it? So you have to give the person 1,000 naira and you'll have to break it into smaller denomination. That act undoubtedly is what is burial, because when you exchange money, you have what? You have done what? A transaction. But the person is breaking it into smaller denominations in order to contribute to the masjid. But for the fact that it is taking place in the masjid, you say it is what? It is very. Now the fact that the person wants to donate to the masjid of it now justify it. Some scholars will suspect on this. And some will say what? It should be avoided. It should be avoided. Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullah will say the best is for one to avoid something like that. Because that it is what? It is biru. You can't look that out. But the intention that the person wants to watch, or the intention that he wants to donate it to the masjid, so may not take it away from him what a bit. Now another thing, somebody wants to also contribute, okay, somebody comes to the masjid seeking assistance. You want to give the person 500 naira and you have 1,000 naira with you. And you give him the 1,000 naira to give you 500 naira. So things like this will come up. But it is best for one to avoid all this. Because now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and الشِّرَاءِ وَالْبِعِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَأَنْ تُنْشَدَ فِي الْأَشْعَارِ وَأَنْ تُنْشَدَ فِي الْأَشْعَارِ and that poetry be recited in it. So this It will be explained better with the hadith of Hassan bin Thabit, Sha'ir al-Rasul, the poet of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recited poetry inside the masjid. There was a time Umar radiallahu anhu challenged him while he was reciting poetry in the masjid. And he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, I will recite poetry in the masjid. Why the one that was better than you was alive? And he caught Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu Rasul to watch, to bear witness to this. So let's assume that Umar radiallahu anhu was using the hadith wa antun shadafi al-ash'ar. So what he was using was the practical experience that he would watch, he would recite poetry, he would compose poems while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. So scholars will reconcile between what he would do during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prohibition of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that the shu'ar or the ash'ar that are frowned at are the ash'ar that contain things that are un-Islamic. If there are things that are Islamic, then this is what permissible, based on the fact that at times when Prophet radiallahu anhu will do that, at times the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who asked him to respond to the kuffar who are attacking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their poems, and who tell him uhujuhum, that he attack them with your poem. So, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him support with Ruh al-Qudus. So, the prohibition or the forbiddance of the recitation of poetry is not halal Islam. So you can say it is poetry or poems that are un-Islamic. One thing should have been dolla, and that a dolla initially means what? A lost animal. A lost animal. So if it is other than animal, so will not necessarily make use of what? Dolla. So they may use of something like what? Lukata. But lost animal, they use dolla. Well, at times, when the word dolla is used, we can also bring in the lost item. So one to inshallah fee dolla, and to also search for the dolla, the lost animal. The two inshallah here, they are different. Two inshallah al-ash'am, that is from what anshada yunshidu inshallah. This is to recite a poem. So tunshada al-ash'ar, because it is what Muhammad, and because it's jamu. So an jamu of inanimate object is what is treated as Muhammad. So, and it is what in majhul form. So tunshada. The other tunshada is maybe from nashada. Nashada means to search for something tolerable. So وَأَنْ تُنْشَدَ فِي إِضَلَّ, and that the lost animal is what is searched for or announced. Now, what about if an item is found? A lost item is found. Can we announce it in the masjid? Can we announce a lost item that is found in the masjid? Now, some scholars, or a lot of scholars, say there is no difference whether you are announcing the finding of a lost item or you are searching for a lost item. So both of them are what? The same. So a lot of scholars say this. However, some scholars, like Sheikh Al-Husaymin alayhi rahmatullah, and that is the with their opinion, wallahu alam, that if an item is lost inside the masjid and it is found by the people, they can watch, they can say we have found so and so. So it doesn't fall under searching for a lost item. Lost item is already found, but they are just what announcing it. How this is clear. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the way they operate. And that was why I said the other time that we should differentiate between the two. Yes, some scholars will say there is no difference. Whether you find it or you are searching for it, that announcement should not be made. Then what should one do if an item is found? They say you can go outside and what? And make the announcement that so and so is found. If you are the owner, you come with what, maybe with your description or so. Alternatively, so one can say that if anybody is looking for something, he should go to maybe the imam, or he should go to the muazzin. That will be a general message. Maybe they write it and paste it at the entrance of the masjid. If you are looking for anything inside the masjid, if you lose anything inside the masjid, you can go to the imam or go to the muazzin. Or maybe there will be a place like that that people can go and ask. So that would be better than what saying you want to announce the lost item, or you want to seek or search for the lost item inside the masjid. So this also was a good suggestion and a good recommendation. So wa anil hilak and al hilak, this is the plural of halqa. Halqa. You say you are going to halqa, you are going to halqa. So halqa means something that is what? That is, because it's a circle. Something that is circular. That is halqa. So, and that's why they use the word the halqa for something like ring. So you know the hadith, man ahabba yuhalliqa habiba yuhalqatan, mean narifa yuhalliqa halqatan, mean that. So, something that is circular. So, the halqa, as we attend, the plural is what? Halaqat or hilak. Hilak. So, forming halaqat or hilak on the day of Jumu'ah before the Salah, based on this hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Ra'ati, this is something that is prohibited, or something that is what? That is forbidden. Forming it before Salah. Before Salah. If you want to go by this, it is not allowed to have a pre-sermon talk, for instance. Somebody will mount the minbar before the imam does address the people. You may say, what, this is not okay. How this is played. So any lecture should not come up before that. However, some scholars are of the opinion that what is prohibited is the formation, so to say, of gatherings, different gatherings inside the masjid, because it would disturb those who are coming to the masjid early. And you know that we have the hadith that says what? Man raha fi sa'a al-ula faka'annama qarraba badana. So whoever goes to the masjid in the first hour is like somebody, it's like somebody who has offered or sacrificed a camel, like that, she regrets to watch end. So people who come to the masjid, if you are forming halaqat al-ilmi on the day of Friday, on Friday rather, if you are forming halaqat al-ilmi, you prevent them from observing nawafil and the like. How this is left. So a lot of scholars say this is what the meaning of what of the hadith. So, and some will betray the argument with the fact that Abu Hurairah used to have a teaching very close to the member of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching people a hadith on Friday. So they said, it's only when it is what? When it is disturbing the people. If it's not disturbing the people, then this is there's nothing wrong with this. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah commented on that action of Abu Hurairah that one, that may be or might be something that he did maybe once in a while, not a constant practice. Or we say perhaps he did not hear the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ عَلِمَ حُجَّةٌ عَلَى مَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمُ. So whoever knows is evidence against the one who does not know. So we use the practice of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu to throw away the nahi of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when it distorts the masjid and does not allow people to have their nawafil and the like, this will not be allowed. So the five reported this. Now, one thing, I thought about if the masjid is not masjid al-jami, it's masjid al-ratib. It's not masjid al-jami, and you have a halqa here in the mud, is it permissible or not? Years back, I asked one of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, Sheikh Salim Ilali, I think around 15 years or so back, so that what can he say about that? And what he told me was that it does not affect such a masjid because it's not a masjid where Jumu'ah is observed. And this, wallahu a'lam, is strong as well. It's strong. Wallahu a'lam. وَأَنْ سَهْلٍ بِنْ سَعَدْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَرَيْتَ رَجُلًا وَجَدَ مَأْمُرَاتِهِ رَجُلًا أَيَقْتُلُهُ فتلعن في المسجد وانا شاهد متفق عليه. سعد بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه reported that a man said, O Messenger of Allah, أرأيت رجلا وجد مأمراته رجلا. If a man finds another man on his wife, أيقتله, should he kill him? Should he kill him? If find another man on his wife, can he kill him? Ayatuluhu. So the summary of it is that fatala'ana fil masjid wa ana shahidun. He said the people involved, so the rain caused on each other. The rain caused on each other. While I was a witness, that is, I witnessed it. It's a lengthy hadith. So where a man alleged a swipe of watch of committing zina with another man. And you know the ruling. The ruling is when somebody accuses a person of zina, you should come up with what? Four witnesses. If he's unable to provide four witnesses, he is what? He is subjected to 80 lashes. Correct. What about if a man now accuses his own wife? This is not an ajnabi. It is the husband that is accusing his wife of having committed zina. So you say what? Your four witnesses. He does not have what? Four witnesses. So are they going to what? Give him 80 lashes for that? the Sharia does not look at it from that angle, because it is difficult for a man to accuse his wife of zina. A man who is going to accuse his wife of zina must have thought about the negative effects of that accusation. Because what should be the talk of the town is that the wife of so-and-so person has committed zina. And a man or not would not want to expose it himself, because if he says that, he has exposed himself, exposed his children, embarrassed his children. So people will be looking at his children that their mother is a zaniya. So for a man to have accused his wife, the Sharia says, okay, bring four witnesses, no four witnesses. So what the man will do, if the man insists on that, and the woman is also asked that, have you committed zina? And she also insists. The man insists that the woman has committed zina. The wife also insists that she has not committed zina. So both of them will be asked to watch, to rain curses on themselves. To rain curses on themselves. So and when they do that, they will be separated forever. They won't say because the man is unable to bring four witnesses, let us give him 80 lashes. And they won't say because the man has what? Insisted that the lady should be stoned to death. No. So since the lady has insisted and the man has insisted, they will be separated. But let's assume that the man says, oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Then he's supposed to be what? Given 80 lashes. Because now he has acknowledged defamation. He should be given what? 80 lashes. Or the woman acknowledges that she commits zina, then she will be thrown to death. But if both of them insist, so they will rain curses on each other, as you have watched, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah 2 and Nur. So this is what we've done, that five times, as we know, 4, 10 plus the fifth one. So the two partners involved eventually fatala'ana fil masjid. The court themselves, wa'ana shahidun, why I was a witness. What is the connection of this to what you are teaching? Can anybody get this? Now it's wrong to carry out penalty, but he didn't carry out penalty inside the mask. Rather, it is what the cause that he did inside the mask. So this is permissible. But the carrying out of the penalty, if it is what, if the man has said that he's sorry, or he was sorry, if he has said that, he wouldn't have carried out the 80 lashes inside the masjid. And if the woman had confessed, they would not have watched, carried out the stoning to death in the masjid. But since it is only the usual of watch, at-tala'un, that is cutting themselves or cutting each other, so this is acceptable. وَنْ جَابِرِ مِنْ سَمْرَ قَالَ شهدت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من 100 مرة في المسجد وأصحابه يتذاكرون الشعراء وأشياء من أمر جاهلية فربما تبسم معهم رواه أحمد. So Jabir bin Samurah رضي الله عنه said that he witnessed the Prophet more than 100 times in the masjid, why his companions were reacting, yatadhakkarun, so they are what, reacting or writing a shari, poetry, for Ashiyah min Amri Jahiliyyah. Likewise, they were also remembering or mentioning to one another some of the Jahili period matters. فَرُبَّمَا تَبَسَّمَ مَعَهُمْ At times he will just smile. That is, he will be in the masjid, maybe doing some things, doing askar, while some people will be talking, his companions will be discussing, talking about things that he done in the Jahiliyyah. And they will watch. At times they will be laughing. Some of the things will be funny at times. The Messenger of Allah will just smile. He was not joining them, but he will be overhearing what they were saying and he will smile. So this means that what we can also discuss in the masjid, as long as our discussion has not gone beyond what is expected in the Sharia. So no raising of the voices, to the extent of what disturbing other people who are in the masjid who are praying or reciting the Quran. So you can discuss things that are not bad in Islam, the way the companions will do that. And the Messenger of Allah would overhear some of the things that they were saying, they will smile. So this is one of the evidences that the recitation or the reciting of poetry is permissible. One Sa'id al-Musayyib called Marra Umar fil Masjid wa Hassan yunshid. Sa'id al-Musayyib, one of the Tabi'un, great Tabi'un, one of the leaders of the Tabi'un. So they call him Sayyidu Tabi'in. So one of the leaders of the Tabi'un. He witnessed part of the Khilafah of Umar, who was very young then. But he witnessed part of the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. So he said, Marra Umar fil Masjid. Umar passed in the Masjid. Wa Athan Yunshid. Why Athan was reciting poetry? Falahaba ilayhi. So Umar radiallahu anhu looked at Hassan. Faqala. Hassan looked at Umar radiallahu anhu because he saw a sign of what? Disapproval from Umar radiallahu anhu, the way Umar looked at him. So he said, Kuntu unshidu fi wa fi man wa khairun mink. I will recite for him why the one who was better than you was in the masjid. Thumma al-tafata ila Abu Uraira, then he turned to Abu Uraira. فَقَالَ أَنْشُدُكَ اللَّهِ أَنْشُدُكَ اللَّهِ That is, I beg you, with Allah. أَسْمِعْتَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Did you hear the Messenger of Allah, يقول, say, أَجِبْ عَنِّي, respond on my behalf. أَلَهُمَّ أَيِّدْهُ لِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ O Allah, strengthen him with Ruh al-Qudus. So, حَسَّمْ مُنْثَابِتْ to do the watch. The Ijah, he will attack the Kufar of Makkah who are attacking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with truth or with poetry. Qala na'am, Abu Dha said yes. Mutafakun alayhi is agreed upon. Wa an Abbad bin Tamim an ammi an nawra Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مستلقيا في المسجد واضعا إحدى رجليه على الأخرى متفق عليه. عباد بن تميم from his uncle said that he saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم lying on his back في المسجد in the masjid واضعا إحدى رجليه على الأخرى placing his leg on the other. So this tells us that what you can sleep in the masjid, you can sleep, you relax in the masjid. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam relax in the masjid. He did istilqa. So he lay on his back in the masjid. In the masjid. So this is permissible. One Abdullah bin Umar annahu kana yanamu wa huwa shabun azab. لا أهل له في مسجد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه said he was sleep while he was a shab, A shab in the Arabic language is somebody, let's say, between 15 and what, and 33. That's a shab. So from 33 above, maybe called what? Kahan. So why Abdullah ibn Umar was young, was a youth, so he would sleep in the masjid. Then he had not married, he did not have what? A wife. So which means there is nothing wrong in sleeping in the masjid, that people sleep in the masjid. But today, this may not be allowed because of the new system. The new system is that when the masjid is left open and things like this are allowed, some people come to the masjid and they steal some of the items in the masjid. So this may not be allowed now. This may not be allowed. But let's assume that the basis is that such, it is permissible for people to sleep in the masjid. In fact, a lot of companions, when I say a lot, I mean more than 10, more than 20 companions who sleep in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah for Allah. One of them was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So those who are called Ali Sufa, the people of Sufa. رواه البخاري والنسائي وابو داود واحمد ولفظه كنا في زمن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ننام في المسجد ونقيل فيه ونحن شباب. So we used to sleep in the masjid. Likewise, we also have our siesta in the masjid while we were youth. قال البخاري الإمام البخاري عليه رحمة الله said, وقال أبو قلابة عن أنس. أبو قلابة said عن أنس, from أنس رضي الله عنه, قادم رهط من عقل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. A group from عقل, from the tribe of عقل, came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكانوا في صفة, and they were sleeping, that is the members of the group who are sleeping in the Sufa. Sufa is a place just covered in the masjid, so that people who sleep here. So, and these people are called what? Al-Sufa. وَقَالَ قَالَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنْ أَبِي بَكْرِ. عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the son of Abu Bakr, said, كَانَ أَصْحَابُ Sufa الْفُقَرَاءِ. Those who are sleeping in that place carved out with covering, like a tent pitched, they used to be the fuqara, those who did not have accommodation. So here we also have it that even during the time of the Messenger of Allah, some people were poor, and what, to the extent that they will sleep in the masjid. So don't expect that a government must provide for everybody. Even the best government, which is the government of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, could not provide for everybody. Some people who sleep in the masjid. Some people who sleep in the masjid, while the fuqara, those that should be assisted with the money of zakat, with the money of the food of what? Sadaqatul Fitr, with what? Ordinary sadaqat. But when you now imagine a society where everybody is living fine, there is no society like that. It's caste. It's caste. It was said that during the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, everything was in abundance, to the extent that they were looking for those to own give zakat, we couldn't find. Because everybody was fine. But that doesn't mean that what Umar bin Abdul Aziz knew how to govern better than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times there was abundance of things. That doesn't mean that the one who is at the end of affairs is the one that knows how to watch also. But there is a balance. Think, for instance, when you go to Qatar, in Qatar, what they have here is what? Was surplus. It's surplus. What they have there is what? Is surplus. And what is the population? Even if what, if you have the those who are not indigenous, who are not indigenous, the Adans, what is their population? Not up to the population of Lagos State. And what, when you talk about gas in the world, maybe one of the largest gas producing countries. So they have abundance. So they have abundance. That doesn't mean that what, their ruler knows how to govern them. No, they have what? Lot of wealth. So the point here is that for you to say a government must provide for everybody, that is if the wealth is there. If the wealth is not there, they will try their best. In America, there are those who are living in shanties and the lives, the, you know, only the eye that one from you. You don't see those ones. There are those who are just walking on the road begging people. So you go to many places like that. So if we want to know how good a government is or bad, so you want to know, okay, the people are suffering or not. So you talk about what is the mineral resources, what is the wealth of the country. Now if they are not now extending that thing judiciously, that is a different thing. But they don't have wealth in the country, they don't have mineral resources, the people are just struggling, trying to trade and do that. And you say the government must provide for everybody. Huh? So, and that's why we ought to understand things. We don't think about those, we don't think like those who are what? Who are just activists. Who are just activists. Jeering people against the rulers. Jeering people against the rulers. And when they get there, the funny thing is that they become worse than those that they are criticizing. I don't know if you have observed this. Most of those who criticize the incumbent government, when they get there, they are worse off. They are worse off. Because it is easy for you to criticize, to analyze. If you do this, you are supposed to do it this way. Okay, come and do it. So when you now put them here, you sit out, you'll be fumbling. And that is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what? In dealing with people who are always in back of power. So Rasallallahu ala afiyata as-salamu. So let's stop here. So subhanahu wa ta'ala hamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So that's
I put your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. MashaAllah.
So number one.
One thing for us. No, he needs. He needs faultness. Okay.
What about if the other one around? That will be the man who has a pleasure.
Now somebody accuses another person of dinner. If either the person who accuses a person of zina produces four witnesses, or the one who has been accused confessed, how does this play? The third one is if there is pregnancy in the woman. So these are the three things that I've considered. So these are my witnesses. But if a man accuses his wife of zina, is unable to bring what? Four witnesses. Are we going to give him what? The 80 lashes to say no. Unless if he watch, if he recant. If he recants that accusation, then he'll be given 80 lashes. But if he insists, he will not be given that 80 lashes, or those 80 lashes. The wife will also be asked, are you going to confess? If she confesses, she confesses, she will be stoned to death. Exactly. If she also insists that she has not committed zina, so in this case, there will be a tala'ub. So they will cause one another or cause themselves. So, and they will be separated forever. That is what I said. When the case of, you see, the other way around, that is, a woman accuses her husband of what? Of zina. What's the question?
Is he going to go the same way?
No. That she accuses the husband of zina, she brings what? Four witnesses. She brings what? Four witnesses. If she cannot produce the four witnesses, she will be what? She will be given 80 lashes. Now.
So it's not going to be like, there's no tala'ub.
No.
Yeah. Let's go down first. They want to come to you. They can't have to come first. Number two.
So if now realize that he was he didn't get his own abusive right, and that should not come from that he got to. So now after giving if I that is he going to be his wife, he going to be his wife or they are going to be the biggest. So now
Now they are not going to be separated. Then another thing about alcohol food. If somebody accuses a person of zina, the madhuf, the one that is accused, if the matter has not gotten to the qadi, for instance, can withdraw the accusation and be said to amicably. According to the correct the way they are opinion. So the issue of whether she's still going to remain his wife or not is not a, it's not a big issue. She's still the wife. Now.
Three.
On the issue of deciding the date of the life, at what extent do you find it?
Well, the basis is as human beings, we don't like oppression. When we are oppressed, we complain. And that's where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خيار أئمتكم الذين تحبونهم ويحبونكم وتدعون لهم ويدعون لكم. The best of your rulers are those that you love and they love you. You pray for them, they also pray for you. You remember them in your prayer, they remember you in their prayer too. So everything is okay. وشرار أئمتكم, the worst of your leaders are those الذين تبغضونهم, those that you hate. Somebody is cheating you, for instance, is oppressing you. Do you love the person or you hate the person? You hate the person. وَتَدْعُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيَدْعُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ. You call them, they curse you. But if you be watched, maybe inside your house and things like that, I'm alone to do it, you don't get what I'm saying. As human beings, you want to watch. You want to talk. But when it now becomes something that you go outside and you are what, attacking them, this is what Islam frowns at. Because when you go out and you start watch, you start attacking them, so it has gone overboard. So, and that's why Islam frowns at that. When the leader sees that you are cursing him outside, you are raising curses, you are accusing and things like that, he won't like it. Even you yourself will not like to see somebody cursing you outside, speaking ill of you. Your son, if you do something that he doesn't like, the son goes out to watch to embarrass you publicly that my father, my mother is so and so, my father is stupid, is this, is that. It's just, a father will not like that. A younger brother being this to an elder brother, that elder brother will not like it. Now we are talking about the ruler, the one who has what? The power. The commander-in-chief of armed forces. You know, when you have power and you see somebody now talking to you anyhow, you want to watch, use the power. As they say, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So when you see somebody who is very, very low trying to speak ill of you, you want to deal with the person. Even when you know that you are cheating the person, you know that you have oppressed this person, but for the fact that you have that power, you want to. So when you are not dealing with the person and the person wants to also fight back, there will be chaos. So Islam does not like such a situation where there will be what? Where there will be a kind of chaos in the society. So that's why it tells us that مَنْ رَأَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا يَكْرَأُهُ فَلْيَسْبِرْ عَلِيهِ مَنْ رَأَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا مِنْ يَأْتِ شَيْئًا مِنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. Whoever sees his Amir doing something that is what? Is disobedience to Allah. فَلْيَكْرَأْ مَا يَأْتِ مِنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. He should detect what the Amir is doing that is what? An act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَنْزِعَنَّ يَدَ مِنْ طَعَةٍ. You should because of that say, no, I don't accept him as my leader anymore. So, مَنْ رَأَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا يَكْفَلْيَسْبِرْ عَلَيْهِ. سَتَرَوْنَ بَعْدِ آثَارَةً. You will see favoritism after me. I was telling his companions, وَأُمُورَ تُنْكِرُونَ. And a lot of things that you will not be comfortable with. فَاصْبِرُ. Be patient. حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِ عَلَى الْحَوْجِ. Until you meet me at the distance. So a lot of hadith like this. But this hadith, the partisan people will not like them. Why? Because they want to revolt. They want to protest. So when you see a partisan person telling you call out Islam on ablution, on udu, on salah, on zakah, on this, you'll be quoting Qala Rasulullah. But when it comes to how to relate with a leader that is cheating the people, he will throw away all the ahadith. Then he will relate with what his intellect tells him, and which is what? Go out, protest. And when you protest against somebody that is having weapons, most likely there's going to be what? And this is what happened in Libya, in Syria, in Yemen. Up to now, the people have not gotten themselves well. More than 12 years now, 13 years, the people are yet to watch, to regain what they lost then. So that's what Islam is watch. Islam has watch insight. We look at things critically. Not looking at things the way those who are my own people look at it. Hassan Basri, radiallahu anhu, said when some people went to confront Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi, he said, and Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi killed those people. Some scholars also fell for that. A lot of them were killed. Some escaped. Among those who escaped was Al-Sha'abi. Al-Sha'abi, one of the great scholars, he regretted what he did. He had to go to Al-Ajjaj to apologize. So a lot of people were accused because They were dragged into the fitna. And what did Ajaj do? Maybe he will watch, he will cheat the people, he will do something. So I think that some of the scholars who said what Ajaj had become what a kafir. I said that to Awud bin Kaysan. He said, why it is it's strange when some people of Yemen or so are still considering Al-Hajjaj to be what? A Muslim. But despite this, they knew they could not confront him. What some felt that they could. When they went, most of them were what? Were killed. Then the point here is, Hassan al-Basri said, in Nahari al-Fitna, إِذَا أَقْبَلَتْ عَرَفَهَا كُلُّ عَالِمٍ وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ عَرَفَهَا كُلُّ جَهِلٍ. When fitna is coming, somebody who is well grounded in knowledge, you know this is fitna. But those who are ignorant, what will not know it to be fitna until it has happened and it has had what? The devastating effect. So, but when you say this today, they say, oh, you are one of those who are cementing the throne of the wicked rulers. Huh? So, and this is what? This is life. You relate with the ruler the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. It's not that the hadith is telling us that it's trying to justify what the ruler is doing. The hadith says what? The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man, waliya min amri ummati. Whoever is in charge of the affair of my ummah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and ghashahum, he cheats them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? Illa harama Allahu ala jannah. How come I call? Allah will prevent him from entering al jannah. Yes, مَا مِنْ وَالٍ يَلِي رَعِيَّةً مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَيَمُوتْ يَوْمَ يَمُوتْ وَهُوَ غَشُّ اللَّعْمِ إِلَّا حَرَمَ اللَّهُ عَلِي الْجَنَّةِ. Yes, this is the right wording of the hadith. So, this tells us that Islam is against the ruler who is unjust to the people. But in order to protect the lives of the people, it does not want them to revolt against them. Unless if they have committed clear kufru, that you have evidence from Allah and you have what the military wherewith to watch to take power from them. But if this is not possible, but today people have problem with the rulers, not because of the deen, but because of what? Because of the worldly benefits. And nothing of Allah never asked us to revolt against them because of that. He said what? We should be patient. We should be patient. So you don't go out to attack the ruler. Yes, what they are doing may not be palatable, may not be things that will be agreeable, so to say. But just in order not to throw the people into pandemonium, you don't watch, you don't vote against them. Allah
Alam.
And can a non-Muslim enter the masjid? Yes. If there is need for that. Like Sumama was a kafir before he later embraced Islam. He was tied in the masjid. Sumama bin Qusay was tied inside the masjid when he was captured. He was tied inside the masjid. So if there is need, take for instance you want to repair some things in the masjid, and it is a Christian or a non-Muslim that can fix those things. So he can come into the masjid to do that. But if there is no need, he shouldn't come in. Wallahu
alam. Can also
yes, yes. When Kumama was tired, he spent some days.
Okay.